In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we begin a new season in our liturgical year, the season after Pentecost. Now, I'm not sure how much of a season it really is. It's more a scheme for numbering Sundays. It doesn't really have the kind of characteristics of seasons like Advent or Lent or Eastertide. But yet, there is something that is written broadly into the Sundays that follow from this Sunday through to the beginning of Advent in early December. These next weeks are all about how do we live this good news of Jesus? How do we live proclaiming his death and his resurrection? How are we to live as disciples of Jesus, making known the kingdom of God now, in this place where we are? As it does every year, this season begins with this day, the first Sunday after Pentecost, celebrated as Trinity Sunday. And that makes it a fairly unusual Sunday in our calendar. It's not dedicated to an event in the life of Jesus. Rather, it's dedicated to a doctrine. A doctrine we rightly call a mystery beyond our comprehension. God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, while Trinity Sunday may seem like an erudite exercise in obscure theological thought, it actually expresses a reality that is central to our faith and to our lives. The articulation of the doctrine of the Trinity is rooted in the debate of the early church over the nature of Jesus. This debate focused on very important questions. Is Jesus divine or human? Or is Jesus fully human and fully divine? What is the relationship between the Father and the Son? Is the Holy Spirit God? These questions led to the doctrine we celebrate this day, that God is one God revealed in three persons, all fully God. That God is not created, but creative, the author of everything that is, the author of all creation. The Son is begotten of the Father, and is of the same substance as the Father. And the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son. The articulation of this doctrine has its roots in God revealed in Scripture. The early church was attempting to understand what they read about God, about the nature of God in the Bible. In passages such as the baptism of Jesus, God is clearly revealed as the Father and even represented by a voice from heaven. The Son, Jesus, is the Beloved One, God in human flesh. And the Holy Spirit descends upon the Son, seen as a dove. Our lessons this morning contain these words, these images of God as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. Our epistle from the letter of Paul to the Romans expresses God as Trinity. Paul writes, "When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Our gospel this morning is from the Gospel according to John, and this gospel contains much teaching about the Trinity. At the very beginning, John sets out in his prologue that Jesus is the Word of God present at the creation, the one who puts on human flesh and dwells among us. Throughout John's gospel, Jesus teaches that he and the Father are one, that he has come from the Father and returns to the Father, and that the Holy Spirit is sent to the followers of Jesus to lead and to teach them, and is the very presence of Jesus with them. In today's gospel passage, Jesus is teaching Nicodemus about the importance of being born of water and the Holy Spirit, and includes that beautiful phrase, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." That promise in John that the Word comes among us to lead us into the fullness of life, even into eternal life. Today's gospel reminds us that it is through the waters of baptism that we share in the very life and nature of the Trinity. Since the earliest days of the Church, baptism was administered in the name of the Trinity. Through the waters of baptism, we are brought into the life of the Trinity, incorporated into the community of love that is God. And we are brought into the very household of God, into a relationship with God that will never end, not even at death. Through baptism, we are claimed as God's forever. And that baptismal call is nothing short of a call to a way of life, a life rooted in the divine life of the Trinity, a life where we share in God's work of creating and caring for all of creation, a life where we live serving others as Jesus served, not for gain, but for love. A life where we follow the call of God breathing within us, using the very gifts that God the Spirit gives us for the work of ministry. We are called to be disciples and to invite others to the life of discipleship. And then we are sent out into the world through the power and the love of the Trinity, binding the Trinity to ourselves, as we sang in that wonderful opening hymn, knowing that God is with us in all things, even to the end of the age. And as disciples, we are called to make known the love of God revealed in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that love which through baptism we share. Trinity Sunday calls us to stake our very lives on the power of God, to overcome the powers of sin, of evil, even of death. And we are called into deep relationship with God, participating in the community of love that is the Trinity. For God is revealed in the Trinity as that community of love, where God's very nature is love. For love is more than simply an attribute of God. God is love. God is the one who loves. God is the beloved. And God is love. And this love of God is not static, but it flows outward from the community of the Trinity. And we, humanity, created in the likeness and image of God, are the object of God's love. That love of God flows outward from the Trinity towards us and inviting us to participate in the life of the Trinity. A 15th century icon was created by Andrew Rublev, depicting the Trinity as three angels. It actually is here on the shelf near the pulpit. In this icon, we see three angels seated at a table. They are reminiscent of the mysterious guests who come to Abraham in the book of Genesis. They come to Abraham and they share a meal with him. And in this icon, we see there's a table, they're seated around it, and there's food at the center. But there's also a space in the front of this scene, a space where we may place ourselves, for the community of love that is the Trinity is open. We are invited in to participate as beloved creatures of the triune God in that communion, that community, that life of the Trinity. And so Trinity Sunday reminds us that God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is about community, about that call to loving community. It's about a God who loves all of us, about we who are made in the very image and likeness of God, created in love. The Trinity embraces us in love and invites us into that community of God's love so that we can participate and share in the divine life of the Trinity. So Trinity Sunday can seem like a dry theological exercise, but I think that's because the Trinity is beyond our comprehension. Our attempts to articulate the doctrine of God, one God in three persons, can only go so far. We are finite creatures of the Creator. We use human language to try to express the eternal majesty of the ineffable God. Our language can never fully or adequately understand or comprehend or express God. It's at best metaphor. With our limited comprehension, therefore, I think the ultimate call of this Sunday is to worship God as God is revealed. In our lesson from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah is granted a vision of God sitting on a throne high and lofty. There God is attended by seraphs who say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." I hope these words are familiar to us because we say them or sing them every time we gather in the Eucharist as we come into the presence of God. In this vision, Isaiah experiences a profound but also a very frightening moment. The house shakes. It fills with smoke. And Isaiah is worried, will he live having seen God? Yet Isaiah, in his human frailty, is allowed this vision of God, and he does live. And in fact, a seraph takes a hot coal from the altar and brings it and touches Isaiah's lips, telling him now his guilt and his sin have departed. His lips have been purified. And after being made clean, God asks, whom shall I send? And Isaiah answers, here I am, send me. From this revelation, Isaiah is commissioned by God to be God's prophet, the messenger who speaks the word of God to God's people. Like Isaiah, God is revealed to us, and we are made worthy, and we are invited to share God's gift of love and sent forth to do God's work in the world. Through baptism, we are called to die to the old life of sin and death and rise to a new life through the death and resurrection of Jesus. God creates us, God redeems us, and then God empowers us for the divine life we are meant to share. And so I think the most fitting response to Trinity Sunday is to come back where we started. It's to come back to Scripture and to worship. To know that our language can never adequately express the reality of God, but we can always come before the throne of grace and worship God in loving adoration, worshiping the one who created us in love, worshiping our God who put on human flesh in the person of Jesus, suffering death upon the cross and being raised for our redemption, worshiping God who comes to us in the Holy Spirit, both that mighty wind that shakes the house, but also that still small voice calling from silence. That Spirit as close as our breath. The Spirit giving us the words we need to pray, the words we need to speak, and the way we are called to follow. And so may we always worship the true faith, acknowledging the eternal glory of the Trinity, worshiping the divine unity and majesty of God. May God keep us steadfast in this faith until we come to worship at God's eternal throne in glory. And may we in all things, at all times, worship God, who is a community of love, revealed to us in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.